Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
I would like us to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. I'll bring it from verse 33. Jesus was speaking here. He said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, that is, consequently its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad automatically, he was saying. He said, for the tree is known by its fruit. So you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of what fills the heart. Let me repeat that, verse 34. For the mouth speaks out of what fills the heart. He said, the good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Please notice verse 37 very well. It says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, we have been speaking for many weeks about this topic, building a great future today. Again, I need to emphasize that a great future is not built when you get to the future. No, it is now, before that future comes, that you determine what your life will be in the future. And we said three kinds of seeds are most important and most significant. We said number one, faith; number two, your works; number three, your words. And we have been speaking about words for a few episodes now, and I want to continue in the matter of words today. Last week, I emphasized some things to us about this issue of words, that God spoke to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1. He said, Jeremiah, come, I have an assignment for you. And Jeremiah said, I am too small, I cannot speak. And God said, do not say, I am too small. What God was telling Jeremiah is that I have not given you your tongue to begin to repeat your hindrances. We said that any man who goes around repeating his hindrances is cooperating with Satan and will be held in bondage. And we call those words excuses for Satan. When men go around saying that the reason why I have not done well is because nobody helped me. It's interesting to know that when Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda to go and pray for the man that had been there for 30-something years, when he asked the man, he said, do you want to be made whole? Instead of the man to quickly answer and say yes, he began to tell stories. He says, sir, I have no man. He was repeating the excuses for Satan. That is, the reason why I have not done well is because I have no man. The reason why I have not done well is because nobody has helped me. The man was repeating. Meanwhile, all Jesus said was, do you want to be made whole? And if he had simply answered yes, he would have been rapidly on his road to recovery. But after he had finished speaking, Jesus now said, in effect, I'm paraphrasing and trying to expound those words, Jesus said to him simply, you do not need any man. He said, what you need is to obey the words that I'm giving you right now. Take up your pallet and begin to walk. That is, you will walk even though you did not know anybody. What the man was saying was that nobody has been here to help me to get into the pool when the angel stares at the water. Nobody has been here to help me start my business. Nobody has been here to connect me in life so that I can begin to make progress also. Nobody has been here to help me go to school. But Jesus said, do you want to do these things? If your answer is yes, there is a word that God has for you, and you can begin to step into progress in life without giving excuses. There are no real reasons why a man shouldn't make progress. I'm trying to explain something again to us, developing what we have said before, that the words that we use that cooperate with Satan is the reason why we are not making progress in life. That is, we say that Nigeria is bad, therefore I cannot do well. Nepal doesn't work well, therefore my business will not do very well. We keep on telling stories of why we will not be able to do well in life. And that was the first correction that God gave to Jeremiah. He said, do not say, I am a youth. Stop repeating your hindrances. He said, how do you go about it? What you do is that everywhere I send you, make sure you go. And every word that I give you, just speak those words. And you will find out that despite your hindrances, despite the fact that you are too small, despite the fact that the people I'm sending you against are much bigger and mightier than you, you will get results while they fail. Why? Because you did not cooperate with Satan by standing on your excuses, but you ignored those excuses and began to repeat the words that that I've given to you. Please, in life, stop going around repeating the reasons why you will not do well, because words are very powerful. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. That is, if you are going to die, it will be because you said something in that direction. And if you will not die but live and make progress in life, it will be because you lent your words, your tongue, to the Lord and you cooperated with Him. Remember our story that we took from Ezekiel chapter 37. When God said to Ezekiel, look at the problem. Ezekiel said, it looks very great. The valley was filled with dry bones. And then God said, can the bones live? Ezekiel said, I'm not so sure. Very common with us also. When we look at the situation around us, we look at the price of the dollar, we look at the situation of the naira, we look at all the problems that we have, and people will say, can you make progress here? And you say, only God knows. You understand what I'm going to say? But God says, there is a way to decide. Remember what I said last week, and I want to repeat it again, that we are prophets of God. When we say prophets of God, it doesn't mean that I sit down here and you write me a letter and say, sir, there are three young women. Which one of them do I marry? I will not answer you. That's not what it means to be a prophet of God. It does not mean you are a diviner. Divination is evil. What do I mean by divination? Going to try to use some methods to find out what is good and what is not bad, contrary to the expressed, revealed word of God. That is divination. Prophets are not diviners. What are prophets? Prophets are those who take the words of God and repeat them despite the fact that situation does not appear like that, so as to create the situation that is conformed to the will of God. Prophets are those who look at dry bones and say, dry bones, you will live again. So if you and I are prophets, what we are saying is that God has ordained that we will look at the situation of our lives, look at the situations of our economy, look at the situations of our country, and speak the word of God to the situation. Then the earth will respond to those words. So God spoke to Ezekiel. He said, declare, son of man, prophesy. That's what God was saying. Prophets are those who shape events. That is, when things look very great, when things look very mighty and daunting, they will look and speak a word, and things will begin to happen that will make the ears of them that hear it tingle. That these people will be surprised. Remember the days of Jeremiah. Babylon was a very great country, a very great nation that ruled over the whole inhabited world that they knew that time. But when God was going to bring down Babylon, what did he do? He gave words to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah wrote those words down and gave it to Sariah and said, Sariah, go to Babylon and read all these words over Babylon. And when you have finished reading them, you will tie it to a piece of stone and throw it into the river and say, thus will Babylon go down and shall not rise again. That is, the collapse of Babylon was dictated by the words of the prophets of God. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. In the like manner, the rising of an economy, the rejuvenation of a life, will also be decided by the words of people. And the words that we are talking about are the words of the people that reside therein. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. That is, what are we supposed to do? Take the words of God and repeat them. Listen, this is how God does things now. When he wants to create again, he takes the word of creation and puts those words in the mouth of people. And when the people begin to declare according to what God has said, then the earth will begin to respond to those words. I hope you're getting what I want to say. What human beings like to do is to wait for things to change and then they will begin to speak accordingly. That is not the order of God. I want us to get that very clear. Now, there is something I want to continue to speak about today, and that's taken from that context of scriptures that we read at the beginning. Jesus was speaking that Matthew chapter 12, that words come out of the heart spontaneously. I want to explain that. Remember we said at the beginning, there are three seeds you plant for your future. Number one is your faith. Number two, the works that come out of that faith. And number three, the words also come out of the faith. That is, Jesus was saying here from Matthew chapter 12, he said, you cannot make a bad tree produce good fruit. In the same manner, I cannot, by preaching, force a bad man to speak right words. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, he said, if you are a brood of vipers, you are evil people, no matter how much we speak to you, good words can never come out of your mouth, because the mouth speaks out of the abundance of that which fills the heart. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? There are two issues I want us to see today as we go on. That is, when it comes to generation of words from the hearts of people, the words are spontaneous. They come out of the abundance of what fills your heart. That is, what somebody talks about shows you what is really filling his heart. Do you understand my point? When people speak in life, they are speaking out of what has filled their heart. But there is a cycle of words I want to describe today. That is, there is a cycle in which that begins with words that come into your heart. Because Jesus said, it is what fills their heart. But how does things fill the heart? The most important way by which they fill the heart also is by words. Are you getting my point? That is the words that you have listened to. That is one. The second thing that I want to emphasize is the fact that you have to either be a good person or a bad person for certain kinds of words to rest in your heart. Let me explain what I'm going to say here. See, the way life is that oil and water, they don't mix, like we say. If you see a good man and you give him bad words, he does not accept it. Therefore, it does not fill his heart. Are you following my point? That is, before you can even decide which words you will accept or will not accept. Number one, which kind of person are you? That's one thing we have to decide first. And this is so important, I explained today. Because if you read Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah said it like this. He said, who has believed our report? That is, we have a word which we have given. Everybody has heard it, but not everybody has accepted it. That is, there are different kinds of people. Some people hear right words, but they refuse to believe it. But when they hear negative words, they quickly believe it. Are you following my point? Now, the battle in life, you know, we have been talking about the way of success, the way of success, the way of success. What I'm trying to emphasize in all these teachings is to let people know that success is usually not in the place they are looking for it. It is not in their labor. It is not in their effort. Usually what comes upon men is that they have sowed certain seeds which they have even forgotten. And the thing begins to bear fruit and they don't even understand. The man who his fruit is that of success begins to think is the things I did in the last few days or last few months that's bringing me this success. Or the man who's failing thinks that, I just made a mistake here, I just made a mistake there. When in reality, it is those things that they did long ago that they sowed as seeds that is germinating now. I'm bringing out a point here. That is, the things that come in life are a product of spiritual forces. Now, the things that come upon a nation are a product of spiritual forces which are issued forth by words and by deeds from the people that live in that nation. Now, when everybody is evil in their hearts and they continue to express their evil, because Jesus said, you will be condemned or justified by the words that you speak. So when men get up and begin to speak evil words because they are evil in their heart, the words kind of have an additive effect. They go out into the air, generate spiritual forces and wreck the economy. They generate spiritual forces and wreck the nation. Are you getting my point? Now, what I'm trying to bring out is this, that we are where we are right now because of what we have been told. Are you getting my point? That people get up every day, they print a newspaper, and in it, they have cooperated with Satan to destroy the faith of people. They will explain to them, the reason why you have not done well in your local government is because the current ruling governor does not love you people. The man does not realize that this man did not rule 20 years ago, yet he didn't do well there. So he sits down and begins to accept that, yes, people dislike us, therefore we don't do well. Then a day comes in which a riot breaks out. Then in his heart, please listen to what I'm saying, in his heart something rises up and he begins to fight against a man that has never offended him. Do you know why? Evil words were planted in his heart. You know, many years ago, on CNN I watched a program and a 17-year-old boy for no reason killed a white man. An elderly white man. Eventually, he was arrested. He went to rob with his friends. They were just like feeling happy with themselves. They just left school or something. And they said, let us steal a car. They wanted to steal the car for fun. They got a gun. And after they waylaid the man and his wife, who had been traveling, they told them to come down from the car. And this young boy just shot the man for nothing. Even his friends, they didn't understand why he had to shoot the man. It was not part of the game. Now, I heard this story because the boy was now on death row. And he was going to be executed for the crime. And then they asked him, why did you do it? He said, I don't know. Now listen to me, this boy had no criminal record up to that point in time. He was a school captain. He was a popular young man from a respectable middle class home. Then I began to meditate. Because the boy said, he said, will I say it's my friend? He said, no, it was my idea to even steal the car. I am a leader amongst them. It is not them.
Will I say it's my parents? No, my parents never did anything like that. Then I began to meditate. Then suddenly it struck me. And I want to share that with you briefly. You see, I realized something. This was a typical black family living in a predominantly white area. Now, this is my assessment of the situation. I observed it and I said, I think I know what happened. That this young boy grew up and they were telling him, you are an oppressed race. You have been oppressed. Get my point? The people telling him are his own people. Probably his father, his uncles, his brothers, his cousins, his church people, his school people, that the white people have oppressed us. They held us in bondage. In his heart, he had been nursing hatred to the white man. He didn't realize it. Then under pressure, suddenly the thing erupted. He had killed a white man before he realized what he was doing. And he never understood. I've said it before. This is the way the kingdom of this life is. When men get results, the Bible says they don't even know how. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's why I wanted to bear this point in mind. That first, you have to cleanse your heart of evil before you begin to think about speaking right words. Are you getting my point? Listen, if you're an evil man, don't just struggle to declare good words. If you did, they won't even have effect. Are you getting my point? For you, it becomes an idle word which will even send you into judgment. Listen, what are idle words? Idle words are those that come out from your mouth that don't agree with what is in your heart. You go to church and they say, hey, say it will be well with the country. In your heart, you say this country is dead. It's an idle word. Are you following my point? So when we're talking about speaking positively, when we're talking about creating a future with the words that you are sowing today, we are saying first and foremost, you must repent of an evil heart. Let me get back to the core of the Christian message. The core of the Christian message is that the blood of Jesus can cleanse away evil from a heart. Do you get my point? That is, the blood of Jesus can cleanse away every evil that is established in the hearts of men. And it's very easy. What a man needs to do is to turn to the Lord in prayer and say, dear Lord, I have sinned. I have had an evil heart. Purge me today by the power of the blood of Jesus of that evil heart because I want to save you from today. It's that simple. If you say that prayer that I have said now with the sincerity of your heart, listen to me, God has heard and he is creating in you a new heart. Are you getting my point? That's why David prayed that prayer. He said, create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Are you getting my point? That you don't just repeat my words, because before you can speak the right words, you must hear the right things. That's number one. And one thing you have to understand is that before you can hear the right things, you must be a right man. You must have the right heart. How do you get the right heart? They don't sell it in shops. You don't get it by meditating. There is a simple way to get it. Simply pray, God, give me a good heart. I want to serve and obey you. I renounce my former ways. Remember what I said? What your life will be tomorrow is being decided today by these actions. Do you get my point? That is the thing. Look, if you said that prayer, there are people who just repeating that prayer after me from the bottom of their hearts, they have been delivered from premature death, and I'm not praying for anybody. Why? Because in their hearts, they have believed wrong things. In their hearts, they have tapped into the curses of their ancestors by their faith and by their words and by their works. But by simply praying that prayer, God is changing their hearts and filling them with new things. Are you getting my point? So that where they have been destined to die early, the day will come and pass and they will still be alive. Listen, destiny does not mean that what will be and there is nothing you can do about it. Destiny means that God has a plan for your life, Satan has a plan for your life. Are you following my point? And by the thoughts of your heart, by the words of your mouth, and by the deeds of your hands, you will choose which one you will go into. That's what destiny means. Destiny does not mean that whatever will be and there's nothing you can do. Destiny means that I can choose to go left or to go right. But whichever road I choose, where it will lead has been decided before I stepped onto that road. Are you getting my point? So if you pray, say, God, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to be a good person. What God does is to give you a good heart, even as we speak right now, and then you are able to receive the right words. So we'll go back to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. It said, who has believed our report? It said, to that person, the hand of the Lord will be revealed. Now I'm bringing a point here, that before you begin to speak, Jesus said, it is what fills the heart that a man speaks out automatically. If you're a good man, then you begin to fill your heart with the word of God. Don't ever forget this. The Bible says that the word of God is alive and powerful, active. That is, it's a creating word. It's a renewing word. It takes a man that the world said cannot amount to anything and makes him something. Are you getting my point? Listen, they said Nazareth, nothing good can come out of it. Everybody accepted that Nazareth, nothing good can come out of it. And everybody believed it and moved on like that. What does that mean? If they wanted to invest in business, they wouldn't put it in Nazareth. If they wanted to set headquarters of a company, they would not put it in Nazareth. If they wanted to employ people, they would not employ those that come out of Nazareth. Why? Because the general attitude is that nothing good comes out of the place. And then God put a word in the mouth of an angel. And he went to the house of Mary and declared to Mary. And Mary said, let it be unto me according to that word. And something good came out of Nazareth. Then he now came and said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? They said, come and see. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is where you are right now, where people have said that nothing good can come out of your life. If you are a good man and you receive good words, the Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 1, it said, to you the hand of the Lord will be revealed. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? You are not disadvantaged in any way. What you need is the right words. Remember, you are God's prophet. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. What was he saying? If any man has received a good heart from God, a new set of events has started in his life. If he came out of Nazareth, or wherever it is that appears like Nazareth in his life, that he said, any man that leaves school with a third class can never amount to anything. He said, watch it. A new thing is about to begin in his life. That is, his future will not be determined by where he came from, but his future will be determined by the word that he has received at this point in time and is beginning to declare. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? A good man. How do you become a good man with a good heart? You ask the Lord for it. Say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And after that, you begin to hear words. At this point, you will notice that negative words will not register with you again. When people begin to talk negatively, you begin to speak positively. When people are giving you negative reports, your spirit reacts and you leave the place. But when you hear positive words that says that God has planned good for you, you receive it gladly. And Satan wants to tell you that how can you receive good? After all, you are from Nazareth, a place where we know that nothing good comes out from. After all, you are from a clan where you don't have any influential man. After all, the school you went to is not even recognized. After all, you don't even have a university degree. You tell the person, that is in Nazareth, the way it used to be, before the word of God came to Mary. He said, now the word of God has come to me, and he's saying, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope, one brighter than those that anybody else on earth has seen before. And you begin to speak accordingly that, listen, I am not hindered by where I'm coming from. I am energized by the word that has entered into my heart. Listen, I'm not trying to make you feel happy. I'm declaring truth to you. You will indeed become great. Where people look down on you, they will celebrate you in that same place. I hope you're getting my point. What have we said today? A good heart is what you need. Once you have that good heart, then you begin to receive the right words. Let's just close with this. I want to quickly read from Proverbs chapter 4, from verse 20. It said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. It said, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Notice that verse 23, it says, it is your responsibility to watch over your heart, that you do it carefully, you do it with diligence. The reason being that what has settled in your heart will come out of your mouth as words, and by those words, you are either justified or you are condemned. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. So when you have received a good heart from God, you begin to fill that heart with the right words. When people speak negatively, you turn your ears away, but you give attention to the word of God. Remember what he said in Psalm 1. He said, blessed is the man. How blessed he is that does not listen to the counsel of those who have not accepted the words of God. His delight is in the word of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. He said that man will prosper in whatever he does. Notice that. He said he will be like a tree planted by rivers of water. That is, even if he's in a bad economy, he will flourish. That's what God was saying. Why? Because he's filling his heart with the right words. Remember what we have been saying is that the words that you speak, they go into the air and they create something in your environment. Words are creative. I mentioned something earlier that what we find in life is like a war of words, a war of spiritual forces that people have released. That is why people like me declare that goodness and mercy will follow us in this nation. I don't have any restraint. I keep on declaring that goodness and mercy will follow us in this nation. My reason is not because I look at what is existing and I think that is where good will come from. No, I realize that if I don't do it, those who are speaking evil words will cause us to collapse. And I would not be a prophet of God. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against him by not praying for you. That is for me. And if you are listening to me and your spirit is ignited by these words, know that it is sin for you not to declare positively about your land. It is sin for you not to declare positively about your life. People have told you enough negative things. And let me tell you something. Words are powerful. If they keep telling you are a failure, and you believe it, no matter how hard you try, you will find failure lurking at every corner that you turn. Are you getting my point? And listen, those who tell you, your parents might tell you indirectly. They might tell you directly. Your friends will explain to you. They are trying to persuade you that you have no future. And if you don't open your mouth and say something positive about your life, your future is ended. Do you understand my point? For me, the matter of words is a matter of responsibility. It is not a matter of pleasure. It's a matter of responsibility. I realize that Nigeria will catch fire if the words that have been printed by many newspapers is all we believe. It will. But listen to me, there is a power in words. There is a special power in the words of special people. And to be a special man is created by being a man of faith in Jesus Christ. It is called the righteousness of God. If a righteous man speaks, his word is more powerful than that of a million evil people. Are you getting my point? That is why Elijah will stand and say, according to my words, no rain here. And 5,000 prophets of Baal will not be able to overturn it. Are you following what I'm trying to say? For me, it's a matter of responsibility. I have become, not just me, but men like me. We are like Samuels in the land who have come to understand there is a matter of iniquity if you don't prophesy good upon the land. There is a matter of iniquity if I don't give the words of God to other people that hear you, co-prophets of God. This is what you are supposed to speak, that good might come. Listen to me, my tongue does not repeat what is happening. It decides what is going to happen tomorrow. I look into the mind of God. You have to understand that before anything comes out physically on this earth, it first exists in the mind. So I look into the mind of God and say, God, what do you want to do? And he shows you from the scriptures. After cleansing your heart from all defilement, after guarding over your heart with all diligence, you attend to the word of God, and God says, this is what I want to do. He said, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. I want to give you a future and a hope. That's all I care about. Then I come out and say, listen, behold, God has said, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That becomes my responsibility. And listen, the earth will always respond to those words. Because they are words that are being repeated from what we heard God say. Like we read last time, he said, because he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. There is nothing that any man, any economy, any troublemaker can do to make me fail or to end my life prematurely. I hope you understood that point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.